Welcome to the Borderless Podcast, your guide to traveling, investing, and living beyond borders, where we talk about living the life that you want to live, where you want to live it.
All right, everybody, how's it going? This is your host, James Guzman, and today it is a special episode. We have the 100th episode of the Borderless Podcast. That's right, it's pretty good milestone here. I've been doing it for a while and now have 100 episodes under the belt. A lot of great episodes. I know there's a lot of people that probably picked up on the podcast later on, but there's actually a ton of great guests, great podcasts through these 100 episodes. And so what I've done for this one is I have compiled all of the best answers to what I usually ask a question, or there's sometimes I ask a question, what is the one best piece of advice that you would give to somebody trying to, you know, get to where you are, or, you know, get past that hurdle. And, you know, we have different types of guests. So, you know, it could be real estate investing. It could be living abroad. It could be starting a business. Whatever that person was talking about, specializes in, I ask them, what is the best piece of advice that they have for people that would like to do that? So, you know, it's quite interesting to hear everybody's answer. It's certainly not all the same. A lot of it is contradictory. It's very interesting. So I hope that you enjoy it. Thanks so much for being a listener. Now we're at 100 episodes and 84 five-star reviews. So thanks everybody for that. Again, please go to borderlessblog.com. Check out all the information. We also have videos, got blog posts, get on the email list, and, subscribe to the podcast. Make sure to subscribe and, let me know how you like it. You can write me at info@borderlessblog.com. So the first one is Johnny Ward from episode 71, and it was labeled Wanting Success Like Needing to Breathe. And he actually made $1 million while traveling the world. And so we ask him the question, if there are others that want to get started doing what you did, what's the best piece of advice that you would give them?
The first thing I tell people, which is when I get these emails and messages every day, is start a blog and start a blog today or tonight. You know, don't procrastinate any further. Creating a platform where you can have a voice is the best thing to do, right? So that, and with a blog, the worst case scenario is that you have a cool journal for your friends and family. And the best case is that you get free flights, free hotels, free tours, and an income. You know what I mean? So start a blog today. Think about what you're going to blog about and start it today. And if you don't have a voice, then, you know, what are you going to do with your life anyway? You're not going to be able to have an online business if you don't have a voice. So start a blog today and then start networking with people who've actually succeeded, not people who are selling ebooks about succeeding, though.
Borderless. Episode 33, Mark Hoverson on online business success.
Well, I mean, it's usually diving into a culture and it's usually following a guru, really. I mean, that it just is. It doesn't mean that guru becomes your Lord and Savior. It just means you're dialing into somebody who's got a community. Right. And what you're looking for, so here's the warnings. You're looking for people who have results from that person, right? So I think it's Maria Folio's B-School. She has a bunch of great stories of people that started their business and took off and went crazy. Eben Pagan is a good friend of mine. He has a bunch of stories of people, and I'm one of them, that bought his $2,000 Get Altitude course on how to run an online business, and it worked well. I have, you know, a small legion of people. There's people that you can buy from and dig into and really kind of put on. And the problem a lot with adults is, like, I know the world because people mistake, like, time for knowledge or something, and they're like, you know, this, I'm not going to do that. Or they have some kind of psychological baggage on getting started. But it's really like Frank Kern's got cool stuff. And you don't have to worship these people. You don't have to follow them like a disciple. But look at it like I'm curating information about people that are running online businesses. Ryan Dice's Digital Marketer is fantastic. It's really good stuff. So there's a bunch of places to go. My warning would be don't drop the big money till you pay some little money and play with some stuff and, you know, see if you're game. And sometimes I've told people, like, throw down the 5K, get the full gamut, give this thing 90 days. You'll find out you would rather wake up at 8, have your coffee, go to work and come home and watch football and TV And you deserve to find that out now instead of thinking about this for 15 years. Double down, get serious, kill this idea, kill it fast, or kill it for real and live the dream. But you might, people are, a lot of people are living their dreams. They don't even know it. They really just, they love picking their kid. They don't know they love it. They just like this little fantasy that they want to do this other thing. But I, my recommendation, especially for your listeners, would be like, let's kill this idea fast so we can get it off our head. Like, we want to go move somewhere. Let's buy everything about nomadic living. Let's listen to this podcast like it's going out of style. When you guys offer the 1995 video report and the video in the game, we're going to, let's buy that, commit to it. Let's kill this idea or go do it. Because this whole nothing feels good in the middle kind of stuff is, it's time's too precious to screw around with this.
Episode 64, Simon Black on how to become a sovereign man.
Getting started in business, easy. Go back to tradition. The way it worked for hundreds of years, thousands of years, wasn't to indent yourself at a university and learn some, get some kind of piece of paper, but it was to find, figure out, find somebody that you really admire. Find somebody who's out there in the world doing amazing things. You think, yeah, I'd like to do something like that. Find a mentor and, make yourself indispensable to that person. Have that person teach you everything that you can possibly learn. I mean, the way we really learn, if you look at kind of the way human beings learn, is we learn best by doing. We learn even better by doing under the instruction and guidance of somebody that has mastered whatever it is that we're willing to do. And that's the way I would encourage all young people, whether you want to leave, go abroad or not, is to spend your youth learning as much as you possibly can from people that have mastered the things that you think that you would like to do in your life, not to spend it surfing or hang out at the beach or these sorts of things. There's time for that. Spend the time that you have learning as much as you can from people that have done it and have mastered it. And you can do a lot of that abroad. This is one of the reasons why I say travel is the best teacher. And that's really what I would recommend for people, is to focus your time and energy on learning as much as you possibly can from people who are really out there kicking ass doing something that you think you might want to do. Borderless.
Episode 77, multimillionaire Jason Hartman reveals the commandments of real estate investing.
If you want to do it our way, okay, I mean, there's an endless number of ways to do real estate investing, okay? And, you can find all kinds of gurus out there. A lot of them are crooks, so be careful. And crook is a spectrum. It's not an either or. Right. Okay, there's like, are they this crooked or that crooked? It's a spectrum, right? And so just be careful. Don't give anybody a lot of money for some program or anything like that. Most of the educational material is free nowadays. My podcast is free. And just go out there in the world and look and find things and see who you believe in. And if they're asking for a lot of money for a coaching program or something, you probably do not need that.
Okay.
There's tons. Information is abundant and free nowadays. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I tell you, if you listen to my 10 commandments, that'll keep you out of trouble. You'll make good decisions. Borderless.
Episode 7 with Pete Sisko, bringing about a free society, one entrepreneur at a time.
If I had to give a piece of advice, it would be to consider that you might not now be on the absolute best path for the rest of your life. And if you could open your mind to the possibility that there is a better life that could be engineered for you and by you, it could open your mind to the possibilities. And I think that very much fits with the borderless theme, because the sort of default setting that all of us grow up with is to live inside of imaginary borders. And if you could just open your mind to the possibility that there is something outside of those borders that is actually better for you, then you get your mind going in the right direction, I think. Borderless.
Episode 76, Lydia Lee on how you can find purposeful work.
Well, the first thing, and this is something I always start with, and people can actually get this kind of free assessment, I guess, or a skills inventory, if you will, from my website. The first thing is figure out, because obviously you're leaving the cubicle to learn how to financially take care of yourself through work and service on your own, right? So the next question for you is probably, well, what can I do, right? That's going to be self-sufficient, that's something I can be passionate about, and that will replace my 9-to-5 job, right? That's the kind of next question you usually have. So then to me, the first thing you should be doing is really doing this inventory check of everything that you know how to do. And part of it may not have to be things that you have already done for work, right? Have been paid to do on your resume. It could be very much like I started this call with you saying, talking about business ideas that have come from personal problems that you've solved for yourself, whether on a personal level or professionally, right? What are those things? What problems do you want to solve in the world that you have solved that you feel that you're called to help other people with, right? There's some sort of attachment to it in some way, right? You want other people to feel the same outcomes or the same results that you have. What are those things? So what problems have you solved for yourself? That's kind of the first thing to go. And then I like kind of chunking things down. So like what problems can I solve could be kind of the top level funnel, let's say, and you kind of dig down deeper into other layers of that funnel, which is then, okay, of all the problems that I can solve, let's say there's five of them that you might come up with, is really dig into what skill sets would you use? So how would you solve this problem with the skill sets that you know how to solve? And that can be combining, for example, different things that you've been doing in your old jobs. It doesn't have to be one particular job role, but you can use your project management skills with your podcasting skills with, you know, all sorts of skills that can be combined to kind of help with the solving of these problems that you've already identified. Right. And that way, that's going to give you a bit more confidence in having something to offer. Right. Because a lot of times I think this whole fear around why people kind of procrastinate around building a business is because they don't know what to offer. Right. They don't know what their value is that's outside of this 9-to-5 identity, that they have this job title. They've got this resume behind it. But what if you're going to recreate yourself, recreate a new title or a new role or a new business? You've got so many skills to pick from. So you've got to kind of, first of all, on a general level, take inventory and then start to kind of, you know, go chunk down further to skills and problems that you actually like solving.
Right.
Right. That not what you can do, but what you want to do. Right. And that will take a bit of time because a lot of times we feel pressured about pleasing everybody else. But we need to always start from us. What do I want to do every single day? Right. And then we can validate it with the you know, with market research. Like, is this what people want? How can I angle this into what people want? But it's got to start with something you want to do, mm-hmm. right? Because if not, again, you're in this glorified employee role, right? So yeah. That's the first thing I would do, skills inventory check, and really understanding what problems do you want to solve in the world that mm-hmm. you can utilize these practical skill sets that you already are equipped with.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think everyone's ready to start something right now. You can teach someone something right now, mm-hmm. right? You don't have to be an expert in it completely, but an expert in that stage that you're ready to solve. Right? And we just need to get to that answer, you know, yeah. from the digging. Borderless.
Episode 23 with Tom Carson Knowles. Cash in on the self-publishing revolution.
I mean, the first thing is to figure out why, you know, why do you want that? And get really clear and ask yourself why. So what I do is I have a notebook with me like all the time. Whenever I go out of the house, I always have a notebook with me. And so what I do is I lock myself in my room and I call it thinking time. Okay. And I learned this from a guy, by the way, who's worth over $100 million. So, and he credits it as being the number one tool for his success, is scheduling thinking time, actually in your calendar. Again, so making sure it actually gets done. Right. So what you do is there are thinking times. You have a notebook, you lock yourself in your room, no distractions, no cell phone, no interruptions at all, whatever. Just you, a pen, a blank piece of paper with no interruptions. And you write down questions. And I use Evernote to take notes and keep track of stuff. And I've got a list of hundreds of questions in Evernote that I use personally, that I ask myself to help me create success in my life. Because, you know, Tony Robbins says the questions you ask are going to determine the results that you get in life. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really true because, you know, we don't need better answers. We need better questions. Mm-hmm. Because the questions are ironically going to give you the answer. Like if you ask someone, how come you haven't been more successful, Jonathan? How come you don't have another $1 million? How come you don't, you know, have an even better relationship with your wife or family or whatever, right? You already know the answer. No one else can tell you that, right? You can hire a coach all you want, but no one knows you better than you know yourself. And so when you write down these questions, so a lot of questions I ask is, okay, say you want to start a business, right? Okay, so, well, you know, how can you bring in revenue? How can you bring in your first customer? How can you find your first customer? How can you increase your income today? What can you do right now that's going to help you increase your income? What can you do right now that's going to help increase, add more customers to your business? What can you do right now to add more value to your existing customers, your existing products and services? And just asking these questions that force you to think of answers that will take you where you want to go. So if you ask the right question, you're guaranteed to get answers that will take you where you want to go. It's just finding those questions for you. They're going to get you there. Borderless.
Episode 36, Offshore Wealth Secrets with Bobby Casey.
Number one, focus on value. I see so many people that chase money. They're chasing dollars or euros or whatever. They're not chasing value. That's a huge problem, I think. People say, I just got to make money. What can I do to make money so I can live and work and do whatever internationally? Well, it's kind of the wrong question to ask. What can I do to make money? That's the wrong question, because what you need to focus on is what can you do to provide value? Money always, always, always follows value. Always. If you can find a way to provide value, then build a business around that way you're creating value. Whatever you found to produce value, build a business to do that. I mean, a lot of people say, hey, you know, I found this thing that really frustrates me. I bet it might frustrate other people too. And they built a business around solving this one little problem. I think that's an excellent way to start a business. I mean, it's a huge opportunity. You find one little thing that's aggravating to you. Well, you're probably not the only one that gets aggravated by it. That's one thing. And I mentioned the main thing, I guess that's my pitch on what you need to do starting a business. Too many people focus on just, okay, I found this product and I'm going to sell this product and it cost me 10. I'm going to sell it for 50 and I need to do this and this and this. Well, who knows? Who cares? I don't give a shit about your product. I give a shit about what your product can give to me, what value it brings to me. And too many people, all they care about is I can buy it for 10, sell it for 50, you know. But when it comes to structuring your life, if you're looking to go on this digital nomad adventure, I mentioned it before and I'll bring it up one more time. Don't make your career the center of your life. Make your lifestyle the center of your life. You're not on this planet to do a job, right? You're on this planet to live and enjoy and to experience what the world has to offer. Make your lifestyle the center of the life. But obviously, we all have to make money because we want to eat and live indoors. So build the career as the ring around your bullseye. Just make your lifestyle how you want to live the bullseye. Borderless.
Episode 39, Being a Location Rebel with Sean Ogle.
Forget about your passion. So many people are so caught up with the idea of building a passion-based business around something they love and building passive income and all that kind of stuff. The reality is those businesses are generally very hard to create, and you have to have a lot of time and effort, and you have to build up the right skills to do it. So I see so many people that are like, I'm going to start a photography affiliate site, and I'm going to, you know, blow this up and build all this passive income. And then they get frustrated when in 3 months they haven't made any money and they forget about it. And they move on to something else. Focus on building a business that enables you to do the things you're passionate about. So it goes back to the idea of freelancing. So the easiest way I've found to make money online is to basically do freelance writing. Is it sexy? Not necessarily, but that's going to help you build your income and your confidence so that eventually you can build those, you know, passion-based businesses. But at first, go with the unsexy thing that works, that's going to actually get you some money. And then later on, you know, you can get into the really fun businesses. But I think that's the best piece of advice I can give, because the people that I've seen that are successful, that's how they do it.
Borderless. Episode 52, How to Travel Like a Boss While Making Over $10,000 a Month with Johnny FD.
I would say give yourself a timeline. Write down exactly how long you think it's going to take. So for a dropshipping store, I would say write down, you know, on a piece of paper by, you know, 60 days from now. So write down that exact date. Say, I'm going to make my first sale in my dropshipping store. And the second line, write, you know, by this date, I'm going to be making $1,000 a month. And then most importantly, write down how you're going to do it. You know, so whether it's, you know, on today, I'm going to sign up for Anton's course, AntonMethod.com. By next week, I'm going to have, you know, I'm going to have watched the first series of videos. By the next week, I'm going to do this and that. So write down your goals, commit to it, and just make it happen. Borderless.
Episode 58 with Justin Cook, flipping online empires for fun and profit.
Well, the best thing, piece of advice I give them is, you know, don't just come over without a plan. I see a lot of people that come over to Asia in particular, because that's where I spend most of my time. And they come over here and they just kind of go crazy. There's like this Asian madness that comes over some people, and they, you know, blow through their nest egg and don't really have a plan in terms of making money on a regular basis. And so when that money's gone, they're stuck and they do end up, you know, tail between their legs and going home. And so don't be that guy.
Right.
Come over here with some cash flow. Have some at least baseline amount. You know, you're a young guy, maybe you can get by on $2,000, $3,000 a month. If you're, you know, a bit older, you're in your 30s or something, look for like $3,000 to $5,000 a month and you can live well. $5,000 plus in Southeast Asia and you're doing really, really well. You're doing all the nicest stuff you want. So basically have a plan, have some cash flow. Don't come over with savings and hope you can get it done. Borderless.
Episode 61 with Zach Slayback. The university paradigm is dead. Praxis breaks the mold.
Yeah, if they know what they want to do and they're just waiting around for the opportunity to do it, this sounds kind of like a platitude, but just go do it. A lot of people are in what I call a very schooled mindset, where they believe they have to have some kind of permission or they have to have some sort of qualification before they can actually go out and launch something themselves, right? Now, that doesn't mean just go jump off a cliff, right? But, you know, there's this famous quote that's like an entrepreneur, someone who jumps off a cliff and builds wings or a parachute on the way down. Yeah. I mean, don't go jump off a cliff, literally speaking. But I think that the experience you will gain by just going and starting your project now, even if it fails, is monumentally more valuable than just sitting around and waiting to do it. Right. This is one of the things I'm a big advocate of. When a young person turns 18 years old, if their parents have a college savings fund for them, ultimately the parents get to decide what they want to do with it, but they should just give the kid the money and tell them they can do whatever they want with it, include go to college. And if they go and they blow it on a bunch of stupid cars or something, they'll end up learning more about financial literacy than they would have if they'd gone and sat in a classroom and done basket weaving for 4 years. Borderless.
Episode 63, going full nomad and finding success with Danny Flood.
Yeah. So if you want to get started, I mean, it kind of goes back to what we talked about in the beginning. You know, define what your goals are. Check the dreamlining exercise in the 4-hour work week, because it forces you to define it and do what I did. I got together with, you know, 4 or 5 of my friends in a coffee shop one day, and we held each other accountable. We all did this exercise together. And you have to say, you know, what are the 3 or 4 biggest goals that would change my life? And you write those out and you put a star next to them. And then you say, what do I need to do today? What do I need to do tomorrow? What do I need to do the next day? What is it going to cost? You know, what's my investment in time, money to make this happen? And then once you define that, then you can give yourself steps to act on it. And then you do the mindstorming exercise where you say, this is my goal. And then you write out all the things that you're going to do and you just do them every day. And, you know, another thing I like to tell people is you have to start with your end goal in mind. And this kind of exercise kind of helps you to do that. You know, if you want to become a master chess player, most beginners start with learning opening moves, but the experts like Josh Whiteskin, they start with learning how to checkmate the king, because that's the objective of chess. So you have to start with that end goal in mind and work backwards from there. And then you can identify the steps that you need to start with and then that you need to take the next day to get where you want to go. Borderless.
Episode 91, Cannabis Investing and World Schooling with Matthew Kind.
First, there's got to be a realization that there's a problem. Like if there's no problem, then you can just pretty much keep on doing what you're doing. I mean, you might say, hey, this lifestyle is pretty cool, but let's be honest, I don't want to leave my suburb and my leather couch and huge flat screen and go travel around and live in Airbnbs.
Right.
But if you want that independent cash flow, I would say first, you know, you're talking about kind of thinking, people's thinking is identify what your limiting beliefs are. Like if there's some voice in your head that says, I can't do that, that's when the fear setting exercise, like in the 4-hour work week, becomes extremely valuable, because you can say, if I can manage the worst case scenario and get back on track, and of course, I can handle the most likely scenario and the best case scenario, no problem, then I can change my life and make it what I want it to be. Mm-hmm. So it's the first step is psychological. And then the second step, I would say, is to get a small win, which because it's kind of like, I can't remember that credit card debt guru guy, but he's like, Dave Ramsey. Yeah. He's like, if you got all this credit card debt, focus on the small one first and get that one, get that one closed out. And that's your small one win. And that's your foothold. Like, hey, I can do this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, I am not a rocket scientist by any means. And it's just a matter of finding out what's working in terms of online revenue and then just going there and doing that. Like, mm-hmm. So the Amazon thing's a perfect example. I saw a lot of parallels with the SEO, my SEO background, except it's even better in that Google has all these rules where if you violate it, your site's kind of kicked out of the Google search, where Amazon, all they give a shit about is like, how many times if I show your listing, will a sale happen? Like that's, they're all about their yield and earnings per click. And so there's tools out there, tools I use that are affordable that allow you to see what's selling. And kind of the first generation of Amazon selling was like, I see what's selling and then I kind of do the same thing. And that worked, but it's not working anymore. We've moved into the second generation of Amazon where you use these tools, see what's selling, and then make a small difference or unique, have a unique value or package something onto it that would allow you to be a differentiator. You have to have some sort of unique selling proposition. And those tools are pretty easy. There's a guy who has a podcast called The Amazing Seller that goes through all this stuff or that kind of lays it out from the ground level. Mm. And then once you get into, if you have a big business that's like over $1 million, there's a ton you can do if you're not on Amazon to bring it over, because Amazon is like, it's great because if you're selling over $1 million or even less online somewhere else, you're largely going to grow your business by bringing on Amazon, because people that buy on Amazon tend to just want to stay in that silo. Everything's Prime and it's just showing up in the UPS truck, you know, a few times a week. And so there's all these people over there that you can go get. And it's, people don't realize how big it is. Like, it is so freaking enormous. It's like 50% of e-commerce is on Amazon now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I'm too late. Like, you're not too late. This thing is, your mind cannot conceive of how big it is and how much bigger it's getting.
Wow.
It's huge. Right. And you just try to be in the top 10% of people that are coming on and bringing white label products. That is a product that has your own brand on there and selling it on there. So, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, we're not in the first or second inning anymore, but it's really a huge, huge marketplace. And my inventory, I send it in to Amazon.
You do FBA?
FBA, yeah. You send it in and, you know, I have an inspector inspect things in China, take pictures, weigh, test things. And then I send it right into Amazon and I use a service that specializes in that. I can see it on the boat, like a GPS, like where it is in the ocean. And so you just see it come in, Amazon Prime, you know, boom, boom, boom. I don't want to paint the picture that it's like, you know, hey, I put money into $1 into a machine and $10 comes back. I mean, there's some critical thinking going on and some testing you want to do, but it is still a very predictable way to make money. And if you're someone that already has some money, you can go to some place like Empire Flippers and already buy an established business and just get that cash flow. But I think there's value in creating a new business on there and seeing how it works from start to finish. Borderless.
Episode 94, Family Adventure Summit in San Miguel de Allende with Brandon Pierce.
If income is what you're looking for, well, it also depends. Like, if your goal is to, for example, to travel the world with your family, you don't necessarily need a business to do that. Mm. In fact, the majority of families, from our research, who are traveling the world long-term are doing it just as remote workers. They have a job with a regular company, but they're allowed to work remote.
Right.
So that's, I mean, first I would say if you're cool with that, then, you know, contact your employer, see if they're willing to let you do that or find a job that does. Mm. There's also freelance gigs, and you can go to Upwork or freelancer.com and find those types of gigs there to do.
Do people online actually make a full-time living doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I employ several who do.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, everyone who's in our company, of course, works online. It's a remote company. Many of them are full-time. And it's, I mean, you, the the hang up I hear with a lot of people with sites like Upwork is that, well, but you're competing with these guys from India who make $2 or $3 an hour, and how why would anyone want to hire me at 30 or 50 or 100? But it's about the quality, and it's about the experience, and it's about the communication. I mean, I've paid everywhere from $2 an hour to $150 an hour on Upwork. And I'm currently paying someone very high rates on Upwork because it's worth it to me for the experience.
But don't they take 25% or something?
Like Upwork does take a lot, they take a huge amount. And so, yeah, honestly, as much as I can, I'm hiring people out off of Upwork, hopefully not finding them through there. Because if you hire them through Upwork, you're supposed to legally keep them there for a couple of years or something before you get off the system.
Right.
But
it seems to me like that would be the future of work. I mean, that's so great. I've never used it. I've been on there. I've tried to, but I don't know. It just hasn't worked for me. I haven't tried that enough, I think. But I think that that's a really good idea to have these, marketplaces where, people can offer their skills and, rather than a resume or something, I mean, you see, look, this is something that they've actually done. This is something that they've actually done. And then, how Upwork has this thing where it monitors how the hours that they're working, takes like screenshots. That's cool. I mean, that's
cool. Yeah.
But I think that the amount is too much. I wish that they would bring that down.
Well, there are other systems coming in, and I think it'll continue to expand. The gig economy is here to stay, and it's growing. And I don't think Upwork's going to be the only player. And I mean, even some cryptocurrency type companies are getting into that space. I don't remember the names, but it's interesting to see what's coming with some of those technologies.
Right.
But yeah, with if someone wants to create a business, it's totally different scenario.
So, it's like I was saying, they have to get, what about not just the money aspect of it, but, if they're thinking about going somewhere else, say, I get a lot of people lately that want to leave California, for instance. if they were thinking, I want to go, I don't know where, or I don't know, how did you start your, research? You just went, or what?
As far as deciding where to go?
Yeah.
Yeah, a number of ways you can do that. I mean, first, I think it should just be where, if you have a desire inside yourself, I've always wanted to go to Costa Rica, or to India, or whatever, then, just do that. You know what I mean? If that's calling to you.
Right.
But otherwise, look at finances, you can go to expat websites and talk to people who live there who are foreigners to get their perspective on it. You can look at visas. You can look at cost of living sites like Nomadlist or Numbeo.com, things like that. For us, it was we grew up in Utah, so it's a desert, and we were so tired of the desert and the heat in the summer and the bitter cold in the winter with the inversion of the pollution that was just trapped inside the mountain valley. So we were like, we want tropical, we want jungle, we want humid. So before we moved and sold everything, we decided to take a 6-week trip to Panama to just kind of test the waters of living abroad, of being together 24/7 as a family, to see how that affected us. And I think that's a great way for anyone who's considering doing this to start out, because it's a small step in the direction. You can see how it feels. For us, it was absolutely amazing. We bonded more together as a family than we ever had.
Right.
And we just felt so connected to ourselves, connected to the world. I mean, it's just one country, but I remember, times we were just walking, this time we were walking down the sidewalk, and our daughters paused to look, there's a caterpillar. And we all got down and we looked at the caterpillar, and it was so cool that I just remember, I feel like that never would have happened back in Utah. And I know other families are probably more present than we were at the time, but for us, we realized the phrase to stop and smell the roses was something we weren't doing in our lives, and it's something we wanted to incorporate more into our lives, and that this environment was really helping with that. Borderless.
Episode 87, How to Build Your Own Real Estate Kingdom with Jordan Stanley Payne.
Educate yourself for free online. I would focus a lot on the creative strategies that don't require money. And I would focus a lot on networking with people that have more experience and maybe do have some money. If you've got a lot of money in the bank, if you're doing pretty well, yes, you can use that. If you're going to use your own money, I would recommend highly that you specifically know what your investing criteria is.
Right.
You know, if your criteria is I just want to make passive income, well, that can mean something completely different to different people. So I would have a very specific investing idea and a very specific goal, a very specific criteria. And I would just focus on replacing your income that you're making at your job. You know, if you're bringing in $4,000, you know, have that as your first goal and don't be afraid to take a couple steps to get there. Borderless.
Episode 75, Real Stories from 26 Years as an Expat in Latin America with Johnny Mueller.
You must rent. Mm-hmm. Don't buy anything unless you've been down at least 6 months.
Good advice. Yeah.
The other thing is that you're gonna have a lot of resistance from your people back home. Mm-hmm. They're going to think you're nuts. Everybody's going to try to talk you out of it. And you got to get past that. You got to get past that because it's going to be tough. The first 6 months to a year you're down here, especially if you don't know the language. And, you know, you have these thoughts that go through your mind and you say, was this the right thing? Was this the right thing? You got to give it a chance. It's a new thing. You got to give it a chance. And believe me, if you can get through that first 6 months to a year, you'll never regret it. Borderless.
Episode 70, Gregory Deal on being a cyber hustler and building your own online brand.
The best piece of advice I would give you is you have to learn to ignore the many influences in your life that are telling you to be afraid of unconventionality and to take the path of least resistance of what everyone else is doing. You have to be bold enough to consider that just because something is not common or no one around you is showing you how to do it doesn't mean that it's impossible. And there probably are other people who have figured out how to do it. And if you look hard enough, you can find them and you can learn from them. But more importantly, if you're smart enough and you're resourceful enough, you can also figure these things out yourself through trial and error. The main thing is just being bold enough to try. And when you make a mistake, to learn from it as quickly as possible, adapt your strategy and keep going. So that could be something as simple as being willing to buy the plane ticket and get on a plane to a foreign place, or it could be being bold enough to say, this is the service I want to offer to the world. This is who I am. I think it's worth this many thousands of dollars. Who's willing to pay me for it? That is a terrifying idea to most people. Not necessarily because they're afraid of speaking, but just because they're not confident in what they're doing. And so if you can develop that confidence, even if you fail, you will learn so quickly through that process of failure that you will become a success much sooner than you think is possible. Borderless.
Episode 51 with Harold Balder.
Stop planning. I mean, planning to move abroad is like some obese person planning to lose weight. It's not going to happen. Okay. You just got to do it. Become a man of action. Okay, and I meet so many people. Even when I travel, I meet people who talk about doing things that they never do, and that's the wrong approach. Just do it. Okay, if you think you might want to live abroad, just move abroad then for 3 months first and see what it's like. Just do it. There's no excuse. I mean, even with a family, I have a friend now. He's married in Norway. He has 3 kids. He's thinking about moving to Colombia and buying a coffee plantation. I mean, the thing about life is you don't really regret the things that you do, but you regret the things that you never even try. So an adventure like that, it's maybe you fail, maybe you move home. I mean, moving abroad is not going to solve all your problems. It's just going to present a new set of problems, but you might like those problems better than your old ones. Borderless.
Episode 50, Surfing the Real Estate Options in Central America with Josh Linus.
I guess what I would say is, I think first of all, you got to know who you are. A lot of people end up chasing the dream because they're unhappy, but it's really not a dream down here. That's more of a mirage. It's a beautiful, beautiful place to live, but it comes with its own problems and challenges. And that being said, it's important to try it on a bit and see if it's comfortable for you. The way I mostly describe it is these countries it's a more simple way of life. And if the 2, 3, 4, 5 things that are possible to do in each town appeal to you, you can be really happy. But if your favorite thing is to go look at art galleries, some coastal town in El Salvador is going to be hell for you. And so it's being realistic. Borderless.
Episode 35, Sean Regan and Mitty Roger on adventure travel.
I would say scale down your cost, your overhead, you know, reduce your intake, live simply, save up some money, focus on what you can create, what you can provide. In this case, it was the photography. I had to make that viable for this to work. Otherwise, it would have just been an extended vacation. Ultimately, I would have had to go back. You need probably some tools of whatever trade you're going to be getting into so that you can prove yourself and...
Some skills,
yeah. I would say so. And stay adaptable. You know, you don't know what's going to become available. And the truth is, we don't have the ability to really fully see that when we're living in a place like where I was living in DC, living and working, everybody's doing the same thing. You seem like you're on the right path. The path is soon to get a home, maybe a family, if that's your interest. And it's very hard to perceive what might come to you once you step out of that bubble. And there are all kinds of possibilities.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe just try it out a little while, you know, go to where you're thinking about going and
take the plunge, be flexible, be open. And just be ready for the unknown.
Yeah. Okay, great. So, Mitty, same question.
That was a good answer. Yeah. I would say I agree. I mean, certainly being a minimalist is huge. And if you can start being a minimalist in your life right now so that you can save as much as possible and bring that forward into your journey, I mean, that's key. But we also have to recognize that entrepreneurship is not natural to many people. It's not something you can learn. It's something you either have or you don't have. Not everyone is an entrepreneur, and not everyone is ready to be a digital nomad, you know? So you need to figure out, what is your passion? What are you really into? What are you excited about? Because it's the only thing you can build a business around. And then if you want to build a business that you can move, what are kind of the physical constraints of that? What do you need to do to make it mobile?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, definitely slimming down and consuming as little as possible in terms of resources so you can save and put that toward. There is always a lull as soon as you drop off and you're trying to build up a new business. And so also any baby steps you can take in the interim to help you bridge that gap, whether you start planning your business while you're still at your old job or what it is, you know, but that you kind of initiate that idea and begin planning for it.
Borderless.
Episode 18, Reaching the Finish Line with Callan Diggs.
Find the one thing that you look forward to doing every day that makes you happy, excited, fulfilled, and empowered. And then once you find that one thing, create a sustainable living from it. And it might not come right away, but if you're diligent, and if you plan on being a victor, it will appear.
Borderless.
So there you have it. That is some amazing advice from a lot of intelligent people about how you can get started. Like I said, some of it's contradictory. You know, you can listen to it all and take it in and decide what you will. But as you can see, after 100 episodes, we sure do have a lot of great contacts. And there's a lot that can be done with this community. So, you know, I would love to keep building up this podcast. Please share it. Again, like I said, you can write me at info@borderlessblog.com. I'm thinking about doing some live streams. But really, you know, let's communicate. Let's make this a network so that we can stay on top of all the new trends in business and investing, new places to live. I think that, you know, the upcoming decades, the upcoming years is going to have a lot of big changes as we're seeing all these different political cycles are getting crazier and crazier. A lot of upheavals around the world. What does this mean? A lot of opportunities in business and things like that. And so I want to stay on top of that. And I want you know, you to come along that journey with me. And I really appreciate you listening to the podcast. And let's see if we can make something real and lasting. Because, you know, as I see it, all these people that are answering the question, what's your best piece of advice for success, etc. You know, one thing that really wasn't gone over, which I believe, you know, and that is that one big piece of the puzzle is the relationships that you have and, you know, the integrity that you keep, intellectual integrity, and, you know, how you deal with other people. And so, you know, no matter where you are, where you're living, if you have good relationships with good people around you, then you can withstand a lot. And that's really going to take you through, because you could be having a really hard time. But if you have the right people with you, then you're going to be able to get through that and you'll be able to get back on your feet, or you will not have such a horrible time as if you didn't. So I consider you, listening to this podcast, part of my network, and I hope that I'm able to give you some helpful information that you can practically use in your life to create more freedom, to break down your own psychological borders, and to create great potential in your life. Again, thanks for listening, and now on to the next 100 episodes.
Thanks for joining us for the Borderless Podcast, traveling, investing, and living beyond borders.